just.
What's up?
What's up, Jaime Macias, my friend? What is happening?
You know, same old same. How are you?
I am magnificent.
I'm hungry.
I just ate.
Does that make good podcasting? I'm hungry for money, power, respect, but mostly food.
RPR. What are you going to do? You're so hangry you turned into Scarface.
No, don't tell my wife. I went in and I took a bunch of stuff out of the drawer that's for like snacks for lunches. So I got got some applesauce. I got a granola bar. Got some nuts and chocolate. You know, it'll get me through.
Dude, I'm stoked. I'm still staying on my little keto diet, and I have hit the 40-pound mark.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Great. I love it. I'm doing my best, you know.
I see you've been keeping that nice high and tight haircut, too. You're just out there turning heads, huh?
You know, man, just making my wife remember what she's got.
I love it.
I know. I'm just doing my stupid stuff.
I'm hearing some good crackling. Hopefully we don't have the same problems as last time.
No, I think we'll be all right.
I hope so.
What should we talk about?
Fighting with podcast software is not worth its time. So you were gone on a trip. How was it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what I could talk about, it was super great.
All right, well, let's talk about the parts you can't. How long were you gone?
Left Friday. Usually we ride from like somewhere and then we ride to Sturgis and then ride home. And this year, just so many people are so busy. We had to fly in and then we flew out. But man, while I was there, I felt like I was 18 years old. I got to see everything I wanted to see. I put like 1,500 miles on a bike. I got to hang out with like great friends that I really love. And, you know, say I do something drunk and then have to like prove it sober the next day. So it was pretty good. I'm not bad. I'm not mad.
And, you were gone how long?
7 days? 7 days. Yeah. So I was clicking, you know, miles, while we were there. It was super fun.
I know young Cash is in the room. Don't let it affect your answer, but how is it to travel and be away from the kids for that long? Do they survive okay? Does the house survive okay? Do you feel guilt about it, or can you get away for a week and you're like, nah, everything's good?
You know, the best thing I think hitting my stride now is my wife understands what this week is about for me. You know, the kids get it. It's just something dad does. The business and everybody works for me knows that it's a special time for me. So everybody gives me a good, you know, tons of space. So, you know, didn't check my emails once, didn't get one phone call. Everybody's like really, really, really super cool. And when I'm there, I mean, I think the best way to describe it is it's that feeling of being 18. And there was a day that, you know, buddies had like work stuff they got to do while they're out there, and I don't have to do any of that. So
that's always fun.
Yeah, it's super rad, you know. So I feel like the kid that went with dad to like Disneyland, but dad had to be in meetings all day, so I got to play.
Yeah.
And there was a day that I said, I can do anything. I could drive to another state right now and nobody would care. No, everybody be cool about it. No big deal. And life would be perfect. You know? Right. So things are super awesome.
Where is Sturgis? You know, I realize I have no idea where it actually is.
South Dakota.
You could have ridden to the other Dakota and come back.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. No problem. And the crazy part about that is how do I describe it? It's just so beautiful there. And and being in Southern California, you lose a lot of perspective, you know? And I've come up with this idea of like anywhere 40 miles from the coast, you'll find people that are there to help you and like, hey, what's up? And stop if you're on the side of the road and ask if you need anything. their life isn't so hectic and they're not spending so much time in traffic, like deleting, you know, 2 hours of their life a day.
Right.
That mm-hmm. they have that time to be able to.
They don't have the same rush.
Yeah, totally. And what I became really enamored with, I think is the right way to describe it, is that people are good, you know? And I think the older I get, I'm meeting more and more people that are open-minded and exciting. And here's, you know, to get a little more deep, a little more, you know, philosophical. The part of it I really dig is that, you know, when you say, oh, I'm riding a motorcycle to Sturgis, that conjures up a lot of like thoughts in your head about, you know, rough and tumble, you know, bad guy stuff. And what I'm super stoked about is like all the guys that we're with, you know, it's all like, honestly, like just good fun. Mm-hmm. And people aren't doing stupid stuff. They're just enjoying being 18. And having fun and staying out till 5 a.m. and getting a little bit in trouble. But also those are the same people that, you know, how are your kids, man? What's going on with Cash and what's going on with Brielle? And I'm asking about their kids because I genuinely care, you know?
It's interesting. I used to have that experience a decade or more ago when I used to go to South by Southwest in the middle of the 2000s. And it was, you know, it felt that way, but for people in technology, like the interactive conference mm-hmm, then, mm-hmm. it was like Nerd Summer Camp, and that went away at a certain point. It's interesting. I've had that same experience in a couple different, so there, and then that same kind of group of people that I was hanging out with, one of those guys started a conference up in Portland called XOXO that took a year off last year, but's coming back in September, so I'll be up there again this year, and there's a little bit of that, but it's different but same. Like, I understand what you say when you're like, I felt 18, and like having that camaraderie and that group of people and checking in with them, but also like being able to check out and just kind of like soak in that experience for that number of days.
Yeah,
that's kind of why I was asking you, can you leave for 7 days? Because like, I think I'm gone the 6th to the 9th, so like 4 days, but I'm like trying to leave after the kids are to school and trying to come back before they go to bed. Like, there's still constraints around it. Like, I don't feel off the hook, but you know, my kids are a different age and we're starting kindergarten in a couple of weeks. So it's like, even if I want to kind of have an experience, there's still like, you still got to pay your way. And like, there's still like, it comes down to logistics, you know, like just like that there's a responsibility for moving these little people around. And even like, they don't understand when you leave quite yet, like they get bummed out and all that other stuff. So it's interesting to kind of like check in with people who are a few years ahead of me on the curve, like how that works. Cause mine are just right in the middle of understanding it and not digging it mm-hmm. when you go away. So,
yep.
Huh. Interesting.
So what have you been up to, man?
Man, just working.
I know.
What's fun to talk about? Well, I've been deep in space stuff. I think I've been texting you related stuff.
Yeah.
But did you read Artemis?
Yes, of course. Sure.
Okay, so I listened to Artemis.
What did you think?
It was all right.
Made,
and for those made, those out there listening, it's like it's the follow up from Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian. Mm-hmm. It was totally enjoyable. It's the kind of book I would have loved when I was a younger person. And I did like it. Yeah. I listened to it on a cruise. and it's a story of a young woman who lives on a colony on the moon. I thought it was fine. I'd watch the movie. I think it was narrated by Rosario Dawson.
I totally felt that it was absolutely a made for movie book.
That's all I felt. And I felt like if it was a movie, if she's not too old, it's like a Janina Gavankar role.
Right.
And I thought it was fun, but I guess I brought that up because that rolled into now I'm listening to, what's the name of the book?
Are you listening to the one written by Ernest Cline?
No, the Andrew Chaikin book, okay. A Man on the Moon, which is like all of the, it's the story of the entire Apollo astronauts.
Yes, and how they built Apollo
missions.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into this, man, because one of my favorite parts of that book is like when they're talking, you know, and I think it's the exact same book you're talking about. They're talking about things as simple as, you know, we need these chairs and we need to do this. And they realize that, oh, we don't need chairs.
You know? So I just got to that part great. And they're talking about the lunar module.
Yep.
And when they tried to get the weight down, they were like, you're in zero gravity to 1/6 gravity. So it doesn't need chairs and it doesn't need, you know, you just kind of stand there with your remote controls. And the thing that was weird that they were talking about is that it was a metal frame that had an exterior. So if you imagine a kite that's got like sticks and then paper, it was built in that way and it was pressurized. So they were saying like it had soft walls and like, how they were just like in space in this tissue paper enclosure. And so it's, yeah, it's interesting. I'm actually just at the part where they're about to do the first landing on the moon. So I'm at a pretty interesting space. But speaking of narration, did you know, have you listened to this book or read it?
No, I've read through it. I want to go back and listen to it.
Apparently, Bronson Pinchot, Balky Bartakamoos,
of Perfect Strangers fame.
Yeah, he's the narrator, and I had no idea that it was him until I was, you know, 10 hours in. Like he's had a third full career, and he's just like the audiobook narrator dude these days. And I actually saw an article a couple weeks ago talking about it. And I didn't put them together until I was in the middle of this book. But he's like, I don't read the book. He's like, I am the book. Mm-hmm. He's like, the way he approaches it, it's not an act. He was like, there's a different thing that you have to do. And he's like, I become the book in order to create this narration. And it's, he doesn't sound like himself. I would have thought that this was like a dude from that era. Like it just, it sounded like just some buttery, I don't know. I can't even describe it.
It didn't sound like Will Wheaton, who over enunciates everything.
It did not sound like Will Wheaton. And listening to it at 1.25 speed, as I do for a second, I was like, is this the reason that I realized it? I thought for a second that it was Alec Baldwin doing the narration. And then I saw it was Bronson Pinchot. And I was like, oh, yeah, I thought it was a crew cut 60-year-old white dude.
Well, I think you're pretty close other than the crew cut.
Yeah, I'm pretty close, but it didn't sound, you know, I think of him as such a affected voice and character because my touch points for him are Perfect Strangers. And then like 3 or 4 years ago, he had a home renovation show on HGTV where he was going nuts, like in Pennsylvania, like restoring these houses. Right. But he was being like in 8 layers of denim shirt with a bandana wrapped around his head, talking about his barn finds, like he was being still a caricature of himself.
Yeah.
And this thing was just like, he fits the bill for what he's reading so perfectly. Like I saw a Right Stuff, JPL, NASA engineer type reading to me what was going on. And it was totally Balky.
Totally.
Yeah. So anyways, that's where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm working, but I'm like, my mind is kind of taking a break and doing moon related stuff.
Bitchin'.
And then, I think I sent you this as well. Like I ran across this dude who is restoring Hasselblad cameras.
Yes, that is amazing.
Yeah. So for $4,200, you can get the same model that they were using in space. And he will basically go through and not restore it, but will do all of the modifications that NASA was doing for the cameras that it was sending to space. And I was very intrigued. I was like, I might need to get one of those, even though I don't shoot film anymore. But for $4,200, I think I'm gonna sit on the bench for a little while. What'd you think when you saw it?
I'm a big fan of like just space stuff in general, right? And and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, you know, like I want to own a spacesuit someday, just for no reason,
right?
You know, dovetailing on exactly the thing you were just talking about, I think the that era is so important to America in a very weird way, because it was a insurmountable goal that we were doing as a country. You know, it very much has that Olympics vibe mm-hmm. to it. But I think mm-hmm. one of the things that even got touched on in the movie, what's the name of that movie? With the women.
Apollo 13. No. The other, the women yes. who were computers, yes. that one?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The technological marvel of what they did is no less than shocking. I mean, dovetailing even into the book you're reading. When you're inventing mm-hmm. math and inventing science and inventing how
hidden figures. Yeah,
hidden figures, sorry. Exactly. Yeah. When you're inventing every literally Velcro, you know, and you don't know what's going to happen when you put the monkey into space and what, right. what's going to happen when it comes down.
Right.
That actually, if you ever watch Toy Story, right, the entire country was nothing but Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone previous to the space program. And so just like Woody and then Buzz comes in and Buzz is the new hot thing. You know, kids wanted to be astronauts. You know, these astronauts were guys that, Chevy was giving them Corvettes to drive around. They were breaking the sound barrier. They were doing stuff that was just so off the side of the map that you looked at these people like superheroes, right?
Right. Well, that was an interesting thing too. Like, because, you know, I grew up being a huge shuttle fan and I went to space camp, and that part of all of this is indulging myself in something that used to be really a core interest, and it still catches my attention, but I've kind of just gone from one thing to the next to the right. next this last, let's call it 5 weeks.
Got it.
But it's interesting to look at and be in that. And you know, it's interesting, right? Because it's called Hidden Figures, because like it's a very specific type of dude that was the right stuff and who was on the cover and who was there. But baked into making it all happen was a lot of other people and colors and genders. And it's a bittersweet thing for me to like really indulge myself at this age in that and enjoy it, but also to realize like what that meant at that point in time and what was there. You know, the sexism and the racism and all that other stuff. I don't get too much into it, but there was something that happened that brought it back to the foreground while I was listening. And I just kind of had to like get through that moment and just,
well, what was the moment?
It is actually, I think an astronaut made a comment and he kind of said it in like a Ebonics way that reminds me of the time in which it came from. Yeah. And that brought me back to the foreground of like the throwaway comments people would make in that time. Sure. And that, you know, literally it took the calculations of a black woman to make them be able to do those circumnavigations of the moon. Mm-hmm. But the first top 10 layers that are publicly seen, are all white guys and any, you know, even it's just like, I'm of an age where, things mean different things to me. I'm even just looking at the pictures of the crew mission pictures and stuff. And it's just like, it's a certain type of dude.
Oh yeah.
It's not good. It's not good. It's not bad, but you know, it's not something that I immediately put myself into the way I did when I was younger.
I'll totally agree with you. And I think the next step of that, which I think those guys were the guys, because previous to what happened after, this sounds really weird to say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The person who was able to get into flight school was a certain kind of guy, white male, probably pretty smart, probably went to a really good school, super athlete, you know,
test pilot experience, you know, all kinds of
Captain things. America, yeah. And, you know, that's kind of it. Right.
Yeah. And they even talk about like how the guys in the program, but who weren't military also kind of got third, you know, like there was all sorts of different,
you had to check a lot of boxes to be able to get in that. Yeah. Rocket, you know?
you know, and it's just been interesting to watch. Like, it's interesting to look back at it now as an older person versus when I was growing up. I wasn't, you know, as socially aware, but also, yeah, just it wasn't the same concern that I have now looking at it. So it's been fun to.
But how many years? And it, how many years is from then? If you really think about it, what we landed on the moon in what years? 69.
Mm-hmm. Till like 72. I think it was like 3 years we were doing missions there.
Let's say 50 years. Let's just be a nice round number, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, because I think it was just like the 50th anniversary exactly that just came right. up.
So in 50 years, let's rewind it even further. We went from mm-hmm. Kitty Hawk to walking on the moon in what, 60 years? Something like that, which is number one. That has got to be the most shocking advancement in human history. You know, we go from, we're human flight to we're stepping on another planet. But mm-hmm. the 50 years that has happened, now we're looking at a much more amazing, culturally diverse, I think well-represented group of humans that are taking the next step. Because when I look at like SpaceX and I look at, you know, the people who are really pushing the envelope now, it's, mm-hmm. it's not a lot of crew cuts. You know what I mean? It's, mm-hmm. it's not that at all. It's
a different thing. Yeah. It's definitely a different thing. It's funny. I read my daughter, I have this book about Mae Jemison, who was one of the shuttle astronauts that I read my daughter, and this goes to our read slow parental part
the hard
of it.
Thing to do.
Emma's favorite book right now is like astrophysics for babies. And I think it's intended for you to read to babies and for them not to necessarily understand, but she understands it and is memorizing the book. And after I read it, she asks for it and she goes page by page, even though she can't read. And she tells me what it says, because she has the type of memory where she can memorize an entire amazing. Book. Both my kids do, which is really weird, because the first time that I asked them to tell me the story, they told me an entire like 20-page story while I turned the pages, and they couldn't read right. it. So it's just been interesting, like to share that stuff with her, and even knowing, you know, just like I said, when I was growing up and looking at the space program, we had all types of women and people of color. And I think we've been pretty good, or at least in the space shuttle era, there was diversity, and there was even educators who were getting into mm-hmm. space because they were educators. And so it's just interesting to watch. I do hope for us to have a big space push again.
Oh, I think we're in it, man. I mean, being this close to Vandenberg and seeing all the launches yeah. and putting big stuff up there.
Well, we're definitely like in the windup, mm-hmm. right? Like the technology is, but like, I think there's something about putting the people there that I'm excited to see.
You hit the nail on the head. I think if you land a machine on Mars, okay. But when you put a person on the ground there, that's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what else are you, what are you excited that's coming out that you play or read in the next, let's say before Halloween?
Oh, there's a new book from Apple Ooh. Employee who was one of the designers of the iPhone. Hold on. Let me see if I can get you the title of it real quick, that I pre-ordered for Audible. And it's the story of working with Steve Jobs on that.
I wonder who it is.
Ken Kosienda's Creative Selection, Inside Apple's Design Process During the Golden Age of Steve Jobs. And it comes out September 4th. So I will be listening to this when I go to XOXO in Portland in very early September. I'm excited for that one, because, I mean, as much as I have retreated from a certain type of business porn. Yeah,
that's a pretty good one, though.
Which is I had nothing. My parents gave me $50,000 and I just never gave up. And now I'm a yeah. billionaire. I've kind of retreated from that type of business right. porn, but I will read any story about like design decisions and the way that they change the world and understanding that kind of product, alchemical place and time. You know, I've read the Steve Jobs stuff, the Johnny Ive stuff, and I think this will be interesting because this guy was one of those other people whose names you don't know, but who was making it happen. So I'm excited to see that come out. Yeah, September
4th. Pre-ordered. I just nailed
it. That's the main one. And I, you know, I'll probably buy one of those expensive space cameras, but I'll try to strong arm that, until maybe for my 40th birthday. I'll do that next
year. Pretty good. Awesome.
But yeah, that's exciting to me. What about you? There's anything you're looking out for?
I'm very excited about a game, and I actually just told one of my buddies who I ride motorcycles and do stupid stuff with that he's like, dude, what are you excited about? I'm like, oh man, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out. And he looked at me like I had four eyes. And
that's one of those zombie killers.
It is. What it is it's probably my favorite game I've ever played.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's like Clint Eastwood.
It is Western. Absolutely. It is a great way to describe it would be Grand Theft Auto, with a storyline set in the Old West. It's basically Westworld. It's my little, you know, Westworld fix, if you will. And it looks really, really gorgeous. And, I like those immersive games where all of a sudden you feel like, oh, I'm deep into it. And, you know, I got to play it for a while and things like that. And I've been looking forward to this one because it has such a good following. And it's one of these games that just doesn't die. Like the actual Red Dead Redemption, people are still playing it all the time. And not that I'm super into that, but it's like, when I see something like a movie I don't want to end, this game kind of looks like that. So I got sucked into Zelda a while back, which was a lot of fun.
Breath of
the Wild. We got the cat Silas in there.
Mr. Cash. And then
this is the next one. So we have harvest going on, so there'll be a lot of late nights and there'll be some small pockets of downtime, so that should be pretty good.
So I got sucked into a game for about 3 or 4 days, but I play different kinds of games. I think they called Hold Down, Holedown, which is, so you remember Bubble Bobble, and you know that whole genre of like bubble shooters where you throw a ball and if they're the same color, they fall and all that kind of stuff. This is like a reverse bubble shooter where you're at the top of the screen and you're shooting balls down, but you're mining an asteroid because everything is space for me right now. And like,
call the game again.
Hold Down, Holedown.
And where do you get it on?
You get this on the iOS App Store, of course.
It's an app game. Okay, hold on.
It's an app game, which is going to lead us to our next point before we let the good people go. But yeah, I just got sucked in and I was good enough at it. They have that really interesting thing where they make you feel like you're good at it enough that you play it more than you should. And like, I was sucked in for 3 or 4 days. And so I've moved it to my secondary phone so I don't like play it when I have 2 free minutes. So Instagram, Twitter, and Hold Down are now only on nighttime phone, not one that I carry during the day, because I've been slipping back. Like if I open something to do for 2 minutes, it's like 15 minutes later.
Have you played with Playground yet?
Playground. Okay. No, what's
you
that?
Need to download this for your kids, for yourself, everybody. So Playground is a,
Playground.
Just Playground.
Is that what you mean?
And what it is a, like you see these kids like who are doing the electronic music and they have this pad and they're hitting stuff. This is more of a freeform version of it where you're kind of dragging your finger around it and creating music and beats and stuff. And it is absolutely enveloping. I mean, flying around, being on a plane for a little bit in the last couple of weeks with headphones on, I got lost in this and was playing with it for hours. I mean, hours. It's really, really good.
Let's talk about You go play Hole Down, and I'll play with Playground, perfect. And we'll talk about it next time.
You had one last thing.
I have one last.
I'll do it. Let's hear it.
I had two last things. One is, I don't know if you saw this, but Apple is pushing app makers to go more on subscription and to stop selling apps as much. So I wanted to ask you about that. Like, if you imagine forward, like, is that where I'm just curious, as a person who makes things and a person who consumes things, like, what does the future look like?
Future is all subscription.
Where I think it is 100%. As well. And I think it's an interesting thing. I'm not against it, but it's interesting where your phone might be costing you $500 a month.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where you're using 20 or 30 or 40 different things that you're paying $2 a piece for. I guess,
but that's the culture, right? But, I mean, you and I collected things.
That's it's,
and we had stuff and we like it. And that's what we're talking about today. Like, I want a camera I don't need because I like the collectible mm-hmm. aspect of it. Everybody else gets into this thing where I make this much money. My apartment costs me this much money.
Mm-hmm.
My entertainment budget is Netflix, Hulu, this, that. My music is this. My game subscription is this. My gym membership is this. And by doing all of those things, the whole goal is to get to something less than zero or something more than zero by the end of the month. And then you get that reflood of cash and you never look at your bank account because you're quote unquote living within your means, but your whole life is nothing but subscriptions, right? And I think that's
interesting.
Total like, wave of the future. And then when you get I think homes are going to go to that, you know, where you're like, oh, I can afford this nice of a house and I'm in a subscription mm-hmm. of this level of apartment. And if I get a raise, then I just bump up to the higher next level of subscription. What does it all
mean? What does it all mean?
So that's that. What's your next one?
Oh, there was a man. Yes. I sent you this video, and I'll leave people on this thought. Imagine a phone with two propellers, Vector Gadget style, where a young man presses a button and his phone floats in front of him to take a selfie. That's all. This is the thing. So what'd you think of this when you saw that this guy had built a case that just hovered his phone?
I will absolutely quote my son, who is also quoting Jasper from The Simpsons, when he says, "What a time to be alive."
It was just such a funny thing. Like, it doesn't need to be a product. It was just like the little moment.
My favorite part of that whole video is when you watch his eyes, because his eyes are like slightly closed, but it's like, if it was a meme, it's like, ooh, look, we got a badass over here, because he clearly knew how dope it is. He clearly knew he built something. And then when he walked outside to do it, he did it and he dropped the mic and left. It was killer. I loved it.
Yeah. That's what's up. All right. Well, you have a good afternoon. I'm going to go play with Playground and prepare
to be an addict.
Then I'll have to put it up. I'll put it on the
iPad and hand it to your kids.
I'll give it to Ava. That's what I was going to say. I'll give it to Ava. She's already like the electronic music. I have pictures of her on airplanes and she's just sitting there going to town. I have a drum.
This is it. And this machine is better.
Yeah.
So you'll text me in 10 minutes after it's done downloading.
Right on.
Later, man.
Have a good one, Keith.